Good morning. I'm liking this weather. At least after 100 and some odd degree days, this is kind of nice. Well, I hope that not just the weather will be a blessing to you this morning, but also the testimony of another one of our AFCO students. So I'm delighted to bring Christian Smith with me this morning. Whew. Got it out. Christian, come on up.
Hello, everyone. I'm also enjoying the weather. I'm actually from Michigan, so it gets a little bit cold there. It's nice to have this nice weather, but I appreciate the opportunity to share what Jesus has done in my life, and I hope it's a blessing to you. If I don't look fully enthusiastic, I apologize. I'm coming down with the flu right now, so I'll do my best to get through it. let's see here. Where are my notes? Okay. There are many reasons that I should not be standing here right now. All the way starting at birth. My parents had wanted two children. At the time, they had one, and they were actually going to reschedule my mother's hysterectomy, where they found out that she was pregnant with me. So that kind of started it out. As we grew with our family, it was kind of divided. My parents argued constantly, screaming, yelling. It's very divided. And at one point, they finally ended up getting divorced, and my father went to Michigan, my mom stayed in Indiana, and it was just very divided. That's how we had started to grow up. My dad, he wasn't in church at all. He had resentment kind of against it, and my mom was in the Methodist church, so every once in a while I'd go with her to different churches and different youth groups and be in it for mostly like a social group. As time kind of went on, My brother decided to run away from home. Him and my dad had a lot of arguments and a lot of resentment against each other. We had a business. My brother and I were homeschooled from all the time. So about the time that we were 4 years old, we worked with my father in a construction business. So we're just always on the job working with him, and they just did not get along. So my brother ran away from home, basically leaving myself by myself, secluded. And it was very, very interesting. As time went on, I would go to these different churches and be in these youth groups, and I really appreciated it. But then I started to have questions. I was like, how can you prove the Bible? Or why is there a bad world where there's this good God? How do you show this? Well, the general response is you just have to believe. And I think many of us know that's not necessarily the best answer. God has given us a better answer that we can present to others to know intellectually and by faith that God exists. He is there with us day by day, and we know he's also coming soon. So when this happened, when I kept getting this answer, I began to also hold resentment against Christians, because I just felt like they were very unintelligent, incompetent, not knowing truth, and they just had to do this to feel good, that they needed something in their lives, they couldn't do anything. And so I became atheist. I was held very resentment if anyone brought it up. I thought they were good people, but it would bring on many arguments, and I would have many people agreeing with me, because what proof do they have? So this went on for quite a while. And this time my dad and I started a tree service, because the construction was starting to fade out with the housing crash and everything. And so we started to build this together, and I became a professional tree climber with him, and this business started to grow bigger and bigger, and we would do different jobs. So now I was a professional tree climber. I ran crews. This was a different experience. I felt like my life was starting to build up, but I could still feel that there was some emptiness. You can do many things with your personal life, but there's always some kind of emptiness there. Then I started going to a community college. I'd been homeschooled my whole life, so this was the first school I'd ever been to. And through this, I began to get into some of the wrong crowds. I went through some drugs, many, many wrong relationships, just different areas. My language was terrible, just going through all this. And, it was an interesting era, having the business and then going through all these different situations. There was still something there that was missing that I couldn't quite grasp. I didn't know what it was, but I still didn't believe that there was any type of religion, because they can't prove anything. So, I would try to fill this emptiness by these wrong relationships, these drugs, these different areas, but I could tell that it wasn't working. It wasn't going anywhere. And I wanted to improve my life. I went back to some of these churches, but it did not go anywhere. Another way I started to fill this emptiness was I was a hip hop dancer in my college, and the music, it really, really is a drug. It definitely is. People question it, but I can guarantee you it is a drug. Not only did I submerge myself into the music, but I got praised for dancing by it. I was known around my college for being a hip hop dancer, being a part of this. I would put on shows and everything, and just people loved it. And that started to temporarily feel like it would fill that empty spot, and I would submerge myself. Anytime I was stressed, happy, this is what I would go to. But there was still something, you know, it still was not fulfilling. And, you know, I just try to do it more and more, and it may have seemed like it did at some points, but it really didn't. It was a distraction. So I began to want to improve my life more in some way. You know, I got out of the drugs, I got out of the drinking, all that. I could tell that the friends that were associated with that were not beneficial to me. And so I walked away with that, no problem. Still believing, you know, Christianity is just, they're uneducated. So at this point, you know, I'm trying to improve my life, and I met a young lady at my college who was Adventist. I had no idea what an Adventist was. I was like, what are you, some cult? Something? I had no clue. I think we've even had an employee who was Adventist. I still did not know what it was. And I live 20 minutes from Andrews University. No clue. No clue at all what Adventist is. So, you know, her and I began a relationship. You know, I wanted to improve my life. I wasn't sure what an Adventist was, but I could tell she was a good person. So we dated. We were going through the summer, and she tried to explain some of the doctrines and stuff, some of the differences, but she wasn't very good at explaining it, so I still had the same viewpoints on Christianity. But there was something different about Adventists that I had never really seen before. There was a different personality. There was more of a lovingness. There was just something different from all the Christianity. So, you know, I began to have more interest into it, just to find out the details, to see if it's legible at all, if it's, you know, if it could be good. So we dated through the summer, and, you know, I'm going through college, same business. I'm working at this point with, when I go to college, I have 3 jobs on top of full-time school, you know, running a business, 2 different jobs at my college, full-time school, the dancing, very, very full schedule, trying to keep a relationship on top of this. And, you know, we went through the summer, and I was introduced to a pastor who was actually a former AFCO student. And, you know, him and I began to talk, and I was like, you know, let's do Bible studies. I just want to look at it. I'm going to prove you wrong, but let's just look at it. So we went to our first study. Now, many of you who have graduated from AFCO, you know a Bible study should typically be 30 to 45 minutes, right? This one was about 2.5 to 3 hours. I argued with him for about 2 hours flat of how can you prove this? How can you? This is completely incompetent. You don't know what you're talking about. But after 3 hours, I left that with a hope of Christ, with believing that the Bible is true and knowing that Christ was coming. It's not like we've covered all those studies at once, but I could see that, you know, something, if you guys study with an atheist, something that allowed me to accept it was, you know, I was going through all this, and he had said, you know, if I was in your situation, I would believe the same thing. In your case, it's completely logical. However, here is the answers to the questions that people have not fulfilled before. That wasn't, you know, coming at, you know, I can, you know, this is wrong. You know, it allowed me to put myself aside and see that there's a logic to it, that you can actually show an intelligence, that Christ has given us examples, prophecies, you know, his word, to show us that he lives, and he wants to be in each and every one of our lives. And so after that first study, I was like, wow. Yeah, I was kind of dumbfounded, like, somebody actually can be a Christian and be intelligent at the same time. I mean, that concept just didn't occur to me that was possible from my previous experiences. One of the previous churches I had gone to, it was 10,000 members. I mean, there is so much going through that church, so many people, so many different things. And they've played rap music at that place. They play rock music. They've got a coffee shop, a bookstore, all kinds of things. And, you know, that's what I was used to as what the norm is. And now looking back onto it, I just think how sad it is that they don't know the doctrines. There's, you know, generally in churches, they have this basis of, you know, things to make you feel good, things to maybe help you through the day of stress, but there's no doctrines. There's no basis to show the Bible. There's no proof. There's no ways to live. You know, it's more of righteousness by just justification, just, you know, asking for forgiveness, and that's it. There's no sanctification process. It's not taught. This is the only time I've ever seen it taught, and it's very sad. We have a great work ahead of us to spread this out. We really do. And so this was my view, and now seeing after this first Bible study that, you know, people can actually, you know, be intelligent and believe in God and have this and know what God is saying, know what we need to do in our lives, was remarkable to me. So we continued studies. I think after my second or third study, I began to try to study with people in my college. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. I'm like, I can't fully teach this, but I was just so on fire. I was so excited that I couldn't help it. And, you know, I had all these arguments coming back to me that I was presenting, and yet I didn't know how to counter it because I was on the other side now. I just switched this. I was just like, no, you just have to believe. And now here I'm doing the thing that I was trying to, that I was avoiding. And, you know, we continued studies, and this past January is when I was baptized. Amen. And it's been quite the experience. You know, we were going through studies, and It's interesting how you go through it. You know, how I was going through the studies and being raised up, my faith was being built each and every day. And you know, when I was baptized, it was quite an experience. It was quite the high Sabbath. We had so many people there. I had my pastor's parents came all the way from Georgia to Michigan to come see this. I mean, I'd never experienced anything like this. Another thing that was going on is this was the first time that my parents and my girlfriend's parents actually met. And we had almost dated after a year now. And we were getting more serious. The engagement seemed like it was going to be right around the corner. So at this point, I was the highest point in my life. I felt so raised up, which is the wrong feeling to have, believe me. But, you know, I felt like, you know, you can actually prove this. I have a relationship with God. I have this great girlfriend that I'm about to marry, and our parents are together. And I was just incredibly excited at this point. Well, God says, those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. And I greatly, greatly appreciate that. It seemed like right after my baptism that everything collapsed. It was very interesting. There was things in our relationship that we seemed that, you know, might not be, we weren't completely equal on certain points. But from my experiences previously, you know, no one's perfect. This relationship was the best that I had at the same point. And it was set in my mind, you know, it was said in both of our minds, actually, that we were going to be together. And, you know, with this process, her family kind of became my new Adventist family. It was a part of this more because my family was so much broken apart. So I had that, and I also had the, you know, the wishful thinking of having my own family that was together that wasn't going to be broken apart as mine. And through her father, he actually started bringing some of these out. He's like, you know, what about this? You guys aren't really equal. Is this really a good idea? And he thought that we should break apart. And with my how I was raised, my automatic response was to come back and protect the relationship. I felt like it was my God-given duty to make sure that nothing happened to this, you know, that it was completely protected. And we both fought to the point where they just gave up and said, you know what, do what you want. And after that, the realization hit us that, you know, this isn't going to work. We really aren't equal on these points. We really need to be careful on this. And God led us apart. And now looking back on it, I praise God because we would have tore each other down. It would have been really bad if he had not pulled us apart. And, you know, at that point, I felt like I went from the highest point in my life to the lowest. And I was still trying to keep a relationship with God, but being new, I was struggling with it. And something else, like if you're guiding someone who might just be baptized, don't just stop at the baptism. Guide them after. Because if my pastor was not with me, I would not be here right now. I would have left. I would have not known how to sustain my relationship with Christ, how to keep moving forward, because I felt like my world had completely collapsed and it was closed. But he continued to guide me. He had a similar situation. He said, you know, this and this has happened in my life. This is where God is. You know, he's really leading you. And those that he loves, he rebukes and chastens to build our character, to build our lifestyle, to put us where we truly should be in our lives. And it was hard for me to see that at that point. I was under the clouds. I couldn't see it. And he was there to, God had guided him there to help me see it past my baptism. And, you know, before, I had always dreamed of kind of, you know, coming to AFCO. I was thinking about it, you know, because I wanted more intelligence on it and be able to understand so I could teach others as I was taught. And I was also teaching the youth class at my church at this time. And I felt lost. You know, I was letting God lead, but I was just like, I can't, I don't know as much as I feel like I should. But I knew that in my life it was going to be impossible because I had no time with a business. I had not the money, no situation at all. And during this low part in my life, my pastor came to me and said, you know, there's people who are willing to sponsor over half of your tuition to AFCO. And I was like, that's incredible, but still, my dad's not going to let me go. There's no way. But at this point, I was at the lowest point in my life, and I had to at least try it. By the end, the very day before my plane was to leave, I got the rest of the money to come here, and my dad allowed me to come. It is just him and his fiance running the entire business, and they have gotten more work now than what we had when I was there. It's incredible how God has opened the doors to come here. It's been amazing to me. It's been an amazing experience being around other Adventists, being in this situation. Because like I said, I'm the only Adventist in my family. Being in that situation constantly, it can be difficult at times. And I really, really appreciate it. Kind of in closing, I want to read Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust the Lord with all your hearts, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You know, another thing that's been interesting is before I came here, I saw a church that was very, very intelligent and had relationships with Christ. I saw a church that was separated from all the other churches that I've been to. What has been eye-opening and scary at the same time is that as I've come to AFCO, I see a church that is like Laodicea. I see a church that is in great need of revival. And that starts with me, and that starts with you. We greatly, greatly need it in our churches. And if we don't have it, we will be lost. I just want to appeal to each and every one of you that if you want to work towards revival in your own life, your own personal life, I ask that you would stand with me as we close in prayer. Dear Father God, I thank you for this blessed day. I thank you for the ways that you have led each and every one of us. Each one of us has a story that we can tell of how you've guided, how you've opened doors, how you have broken the impossible barriers that we could not see. And I pray that that we will plead to you each and every day for revival. We need it in our church, Father. We need it throughout our church, Father. You are coming soon. And I pray that I want to lift up each and every person in this room, that you would be with them and guide them continually. I pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.